let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody, coast to coast, This Week in America. The genesis of the book, it's been a pretty good ride, came from author Bob Harshbarger's three daughters. They had been subjected to numerous tales over the years about where the Harshbargers came from, the countless stories, mostly humorous, about their father growing up in a wheelchair. Bob's children encouraged him to write down some of these accounts along with some genealogical history, and the book began. Bob is a 73-year-old husband and dad who in 1948 was hit with polio at the age of 14 months. Initially totally paralyzed, he's now not walked since, confined to a wheelchair. He says it's been a terrific life, thanks to many blessings from God. He grew up on an Illinois farm, twice married, four children, master's degree in social work, worked 31 years in that capacity at Veterans Administration Medical Center, worked for 12 years as a radio disc jockey, including emceeing shows for country stars, retired now, living with his wife Beverly in Virginia, and Bob Harshbarger, author of It's Been a Pretty Good Ride, with us on This Week in America. Bob, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
How you doing, Rick? It's great to be here.
I am doing fine and looking forward to this, and it has been a pretty good ride. And let's talk about the beginning of this. I mentioned polio at 14 months. Talk about starting your life with polio and how you overcame that and so many obstacles in your life, and what a career you've had with social work as well as in radio. What was life like as a child dealing with polio?
Well, you know, right now we're dealing with COVID and that pandemic. And back then I have a sense now what my parents must have gone through with that. And then I came down with it on vacation, actually. And they took me to the hospital and they said, I think he's got it. And well, I ended up about a year and a half in a Springfield, Illinois hospital. And that came out of there, started out totally paralyzed, but came out. Well, use of my right arm, left leg, you know, God's been good. We moved on from there. I've been a believer my whole life, and you are where you are today based on the choices you made. And I instantly decided I probably wasn't going to be a construction worker, or not that I wouldn't have wanted to be a construction worker, or in the blue collar field, but the wheelchair and such was not going to allow that. So I forced myself to go to college. I wasn't a big school fan, but I did that, and then you know, I had a pretty normal childhood all the way up. I think, as I mentioned in the book, there was an episode where I got knocked out one time in the fourth grade, and it was in the gym. We were chasing another kid in the gym, and little girl Dorothy Hershberger was pushing me, and we were chasing Mike Carpenter. Well, Mike turned right and Dorothy turned right, but I kept going and hit my head on the gym floor out of the chair, and they picked me up, an upperclassman, and carried me back to my fourth grade desk and just poured me in my desk because I was still unconscious. And I woke up about 20 minutes, half hour later, and the teacher said, well, it's nice to have you back with us again, Bobby. And I'm thinking now there'd be a 911 call, parents would have been called, neck braces and backboards and all. It was back in the time, they didn't do that much in the early 50s. It's just kind of like rub some dirt in it and move on.
And move on. And you would have had three attorneys at your doorstep within a couple of hours to try to work with the school and settle outside of court. It's interesting. I mentioned the background on the book when the daughter said, Dad, you've got some great stories. But it really didn't start off as a book, as I understand, did it? You just sort of wrote down what had happened. How did the whole book thing actually come about? Because besides entertaining stories like that, it's really inspiration for people who have overcome challenges or have to, as you did, or just everybody. We all have challenges every day in our lives. How did it develop into a book?
Well, I would come home and, I don't know, sit around the dinner table with the family, with the kids, and I'd explain what happened today. That was kind of funny, maybe once or twice a week, and then some radio kind of humor and different things like that. It's, for example, in radio, I emceed a show for Waylon Jennings, first show I emceed, and 750 people in the high school auditorium. And I come out and I start, I've got a great show. We're going to bring the star out here in a couple of minutes, and then go into a few of my jokes. And boy, nobody's laughing. And I'm dying here. And so I go backstage, and Waylon Jennings comes out. And then the next two or three months later, I emceed a show for Dolly Parton. And it occurred to me, I got to have something different. And it's the wheelchair. It's got people shocked to see this voice they've been listening to for 6 hours a day, 6 days a week, that's in a wheelchair. And poor Chris, you're not supposed to laugh at somebody in a wheelchair. So I came out with a few wheelchair jokes that I needed to develop. Those aren't easy to find, by the way.
I was going to say, where did you find those?
Well, there's a truly tasteless joke book that you can find in some of the bookstores. And I borrowed one or two from there. I'll let the reader decide if they're appropriate or funny or not. But I told a couple of those jokes, and the audience laughed. And then I went into my regular jokes that I had before, many of them, and they laughed all the way through it. And finally introduced the star, Dolly Parton, and that was the key. So from that point on, anytime I did a show, I'd bring out some wheelchair jokes to kick it off with.
You know, that's interesting. So take my wheelchair, please. I don't know whether Henny Youngman has any material there with that. But I guess once they see you're okay with who you are and can laugh about it and have a sense of humor, then they're okay laughing at you. It's interesting how you sort of gave them that permission to, this guy is funny. I don't feel guilty in laughing at him anymore. Our guest at the program is Bob Harshbarger. It's been a pretty good ride, the name of the book. It's so interesting, the background. Let's go back to school when you decided to go to college. And you got what, degrees in radio, television, minor in psychology, and master's in social work. Talk about that, the interesting career blending radio, television with social work. And I guess radio, TV is a lot of social work in dealing with people in those situations. Talk about your inspiration to get involved in both of those aspects.
Well, my first job out of college, I enjoyed psychology and I enjoyed journalism, and I kind of was drawn to the radio TV aspect of it. And so I got that degree, but it occurred to me, I'm working at a radio station for, I don't know, 15, 20 bucks an hour. And this is not going to be a future. You're working 6 hours a day. That doesn't count the preparation time.
Yes.
6 days a week. And I got to do something to make some money because I'm starting to have a family here. And I decided to go back to school and pursue a degree in social work. And I worked at the VA Medical Center in Danville, Illinois, as a social worker. And it was an honor to give back a little bit of some of the fortune I've had with overcoming some of these obstacles, and to give back a little bit to the veterans that are serving our country. And I can't say enough about them, and it felt good, frankly. So I had fun at the radio job. I worked part-time then on weekends with the radio, and then full-time at the VA Medical Center. And then the last 4 years of my radio career, I was still working at the VA Medical Center, but I worked 4 hours in the morning on a morning shift, in the drive time, as it were. So I'd show up at about 6. Well, the show started at 6. I guess I said 4, 3 hours. The show started at 6. I needed to be there because I'm obsessive compulsive. I would get there about 5:15, 5:20, and get the show ready. Yes. And I was there with a partner who always came in about 2 minutes into the theme song that kicked off the show. So, so I would work from 6 until 9 and then head out to the VA and work from 9 to 5 and then head home. It was long days, but rewarding days. I mean, I enjoyed and had fun at radio, and I certainly enjoyed the VA job with being able to help the veterans and work through some of their issues.
Let's talk about some of the fun jobs that you have that you talk about in your book. It's Been a Pretty Good Ride by Bob Harshbarger. That's Harshbarger. You'll find the book at Amazon, authorreputationpress.com, and you can link on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. The other side of radio, you get to do a lot of, you mentioned the celebrities you worked with. You also got to do an ostrich race. And in the video of the program that's up on YouTube and on our website, you've actually got the trophy you won from the ostrich race. So it's not all about meeting Dolly Parton, is it, in radio?
No, it wasn't. The trophy is over my my right shoulder here. My first radio job, the program director's on in the morning, and I'm bringing some, back then it was records, I'm bringing some records in and some material and some funny stuff for the show. It started at noon, and I bring the material in, I hear Jim Norris, he was the program director, say, he was on the phone and said, "Oh, sure, Benson will be happy to do that." Well, my name was Bob Benson on the radio, Mother Benson's boy, and so I came in and I heard him say, "Oh, Benson will be willing to do that. Sure. He'll be there Saturday." And hung up. And I said, "What am I doing Saturday?" And he says, "Oh, you need to be at the Georgetown Fair. And you're participating in an ostrich race with the other disc jockeys." And I said, "Excuse me." And I looked down at the wheelchair and said, "Have you noticed?" And he said, "Yeah, you'll be fine," he says. So, all right, so try anything once, I guess. I was at the Georgetown Fair at the assigned time, and they had a cart behind the ostrich, and they said, "Okay, Bob, here's what you do. You transfer it into the cart." My other disc jockeys that were in there, one of them had to clean out his cart, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
Before he got in it, but okay, And the guy that organized the thing says, "All right, you need to be very careful now and hold on tight, because when I shoot this gun up in the air, these ostriches go from 0 to 60 in about 3 seconds."
Wow.
So you hang on. And oh, by the way, here's a broom. And he gives me this broom in the in my right hand, and I'm holding on my left hand. And he says, "When you get to the corner, you need to hold this broom and shake it in front of the ostrich's right eye, because that scares him. They operate on fear. So that scares him, and he'll turn left then to get away from it." So, wow, what could go wrong here?
Yes.
he shoots the gun off, and I still know him to this day, the other disc jockey. Was in Montana now, I think. We had dinner about a year ago at Steak and Shake. I remember running alongside him, holding on to dear life. As soon as he shot the gun and the ostrich took off, I jettisoned the broom, and we went down to the first turn. I'm praying that the ostrich knows what to do, and because he's done this before, obviously. And my ostrich cut off Rich's ostrich on the inside, and all I heard from him was, "Oh!" So my ostrich won that race, and I was told I had to come back that night to do the final heat. And so I returned that night, same routine, and I don't know how I won. At the end of the finish line, they had the whole crew jumping up and down, screaming and waving their hands to stop the ostrich. Again, they operate out of fear. So had they not been there, I'd still be running around the Georgetown Fair in an ostrich someplace. Yeah.
I'm assuming that you sort of had something similar with the ostrich operating out of fear. I mean, when they give you those directions and you're told to, spook the ostrich and hang on to these straps, I mean, sometimes you get in situations where you're thinking, what do they volunteer me for here?
Well, that's exactly right. I had a nice little story to tell Jim Norris after I got back.
A colorful story, I'm sure.
And I also, of course, everybody now is, I also think about what's the culpability or legal issues that could be involved with that if something goes wrong, it's like, but thankfully nothing went wrong. It was all fun. And I got my trophy. They gave it to me while I was in my wheelchair. So I got to wave at the Georgetown Fair. That's from my wheelchair holding trophy.
One of the amazing stories in Bob's book, Bob Harshbarger. The book is It's Been a Pretty Good Ride. Rapidly running out of time, but I want to focus on the other part, working as a social worker. Talk about some of your responsibilities there, because you touch people in a different way. And on the radio, you're entertaining them. Ostrich races, you're entertaining them. This is really a human touch you have in working with them on the social worker level. Talk about some of those experiences.
Oh, good experiences, almost all of them. My only bad news about that job was that it was so busy that I'd have somebody in my office and I couldn't get to everybody at once. And I'd have somebody in my office, I'd have somebody waiting, I'd have a veteran calling in with a problem, and it was overwhelming in some degrees with that. But I was a social worker that worked my last 15 years in the job. Started out 5 years in the medical unit, in the hospital, 5 years in extended care, 5 years in psychiatry, and then the last 15 years was in admissions and outpatient clinics, all the clinics and outpatients. So I was pretty busy there. Some guys were homeless. Some guys needed money, trying to help veterans get their compensation that they were due from the VA, various problems. I was also the visual impairment coordinator, and that was a pretty time-consuming job. I was a spinal cord injury coordinator, and that worked out really well because every summer they would send me to Las Vegas for a seminar of some sort on how to deal with the various aspects of spinal cord injury. I was a prisoner of war coordinator. I was the lodger coordinator for veterans that came in and didn't have a place to stay and they really needed something and they weren't eligible to be admitted, and I'd arrange and screen them to make sure they were good for the lodger program in our facility. And very busy. I started to mention before, I tell some of these stories to my daughters and over dinner, and they finally said, "Dad, why don't you write something about that?" And so I wrote a couple of them down. For Christmas one time, they got me a software package that would encourage you to write a book and would ask you leading questions so you could fill in the blanks. And I started out with that. It didn't work. I just went to Word, Microsoft Word, and wrote my book on my own. It's a fairly short book, but I think it's entertaining. Hopefully it's inspirational as well.
Well, it's all of that, a number of emotions in the book. And working at the clinic, when you get a call that you had a client drive himself in, that would seem like, okay, that probably happens all the time. This all wasn't a normal client that drove himself into the clinic, was it?
No. I got a call, of course, 5 o'clock, the call comes in, and from down in the clinic and the medical clinic. So I go down there, and the doctor says, "I've got Mr. I don't know what his name was, Mr. Jones here." And he drove himself in from Bloomington, probably an hour and a half drive from our facility. And he's blind. So is there some chance you could work with that? So I did. I went back. It's just kind of fly by the seat of your pants again, like the ostrich race. And
exactly.
And I went back and talked to him, and very respectful, tried to be, and say, "Mr. Jones, I need to arrange somebody to drive you home." "I'm driving myself home. I drove myself here." "Well, see, the problem with that is you're legally blind." "Well, you can be blind in two different fashions. Like everybody knows already, your acuity is it makes you blind.
Yes.
20/200 is what somebody could see at 200 feet, you would be 20 feet from. So that's 20/200. If you're less than 20/200, your acuity, you're legally blind. So, and that's with correction. So the other way to be legally blind, and he had 20, I don't know, he was less than, his acuity was fine for the most part. But the other problem was, and way you can be legally blind, is by virtue of visual field. If you look straight out and you go 10 degrees one way and 10 degrees the other, that's a 20 degree visual field. If you're less than if you're 20 degrees visual field or less, you're legally blind also by virtue of the field, side vision,
yes,
basically. And I explained to him that somebody, you're driving in here and a little kid runs out on the street and you've only got limited visual field vision, you'd run over him before you even saw him. So that would make you feel terrible. I know it would. And that would put the VA in a legal bind because we'd be sued because we let a blind veteran drive himself home. So it went on for a while. That was about an hour discussion to convince him that I could put him up as a lodger, call some family, have them drive over and pick him up the next day. So, there were some interesting occurrences in there.
Well, and there are in the book, Bob has lived life to its fullest. It's been a pretty good ride. It's sort of an understatement what you've been able to do. Being in a wheelchair your life, you've lived life more aggressively, with more enjoyable circumstances probably than many others. And the book is, well, you'll find the entertaining stories and then you'll get inspiration in your own life. As I said, we all have challenges. The book is It's Been a Pretty Good Ride by Bob Harshbarger. The book's available at authorreputationpress.com, Amazon, the usual places. Go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You can link on directly and get information on Bob's book. Bob, it's been a pleasure. Wish we had more time. Great stories in the book. Thank your daughters for having you do this and share your stories, your world with other people, because it is entertaining, it's inspirational, it's motivational. Thank you for being with us on the program. It's been fun.
Thank you for having me, Rick. I really appreciate this.
It was great having you. The program, the book is It's Been a Pretty Good Ride, Bob Harshbarger, Harshbarger, all that on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.